That sunny September day was full of surprises. The first one came when, after my swift realization that the sedan was still right side up and the windshield and windows intact, I switched off the ignition and turned to look at the back seat. I didn't suppose the shock of the collision would have hurled him to the floor, knowing as I did that when the car was in motion, he always had his feet braced and kept a firm grip on the strap. What I expected was the ordeal of facing a glare of fury that would top all records. What I saw was him sitting there calmly on the seat with his massive round face wearing a look of relief. If I knew his face, and I certainly knew Nero Wolfe's face, I stared at him in astonishment. He murmured, "Thank God," as if it came from his heart. I demanded, "What?" "I said, thank God." He let go of the strap and wiggled a finger at me. "It has happened, and here we are. I presume you know, since I've told you, that my distrust and hatred of vehicles in motion is partly based on my pleurophory that their apparent submission to control is illusory, and that they may at their pleasure, and sooner or later will, act on whim. Very well, this one has, and we are intact. Thank God the whim was not a deadlier one." "Whim, hell, do you know what happened?" "Certainly. I said whim. Go ahead."
"What do you mean, go ahead?"
"I mean, go on. Start the confounded thing going again."
I opened the door and got out and walked around to the front to take a look. It was a mess. After a careful examination, I went back to the other side of the car and opened the rear door and looked in at him and made my report. "It was quite a whim. I'd like to get it on record what happened, since I've been driving your cars 9 years, and this is the first time I've ever stopped before I was ready to. That was a good tire, so they must have run it over glass at the garage where I left it last night, or maybe I did myself, though I don't think so. Anyway, I was going 55 when the tire blew out. She left the road, but I didn't lose the wheel, and I was braking and had her headed up and would have made it if it hadn't been for the damn tree. Now the fender is smashed into the rubber, and a knuckle is busted, and the radiator's ripped open."
"How long will it take you to fix it?"
"I can't fix it. If I had a nail, I wouldn't even bother to bite it. I'd swallow it whole."
"Who can fix it? Men with tools in a garage?"
"It isn't in a garage."
"Right."
He closed his eyes and sat. Pretty soon he opened them again and sighed.
"Where are we?"
237 miles northeast of Times Square, 18 miles southwest of Crowfield, where the North Atlantic Exposition is held every year, beginning on the second Monday in September and lasting...
"Archie." His eyes were narrowed at me.
"Please save the jocularity. What are we going to do?" I admit I was touched. Nero Wolfe asking me what to do. "I don't know about you," I said, "but I'm going to kill myself. I was reading in the paper the other day how a Jap always commits suicide when he fails his emperor, and no Jap has anything on me. They call it seppuku. Maybe you think they call it harakiri, but they don't, or at least rarely. They call it seppuku."
He merely repeated, "What are we going to do?"
"We're going to flag a car and get a lift, preferably to Crowfield, where we have reservations at a hotel."
"Would you drive it?"
"Drive what?"
"The car we flag."
"I don't imagine he would let me after he sees what I've done to this one."
Wolfe compressed his lips. "I won't ride with a strange driver.
I'll go to Crowfield alone and rent a car and come back for you."
"That would take 2 hours, no."
I shrugged. "We passed a house about a mile back. I'll bum a ride there or walk and phone to Crowfield for a car.
While I sit here, waiting, helplessly, in this disabled demon..."
"Right." He shook his head.
"No."
"You won't do that?"
"No."